Jax Media, helping give fighters and fight promoters the edge to get noticed and pound through to success. At Jax Media, we know how difficult it can be to get sponsorships for your fights or fighters. Don't miss out on prime opportunities. Showcase your fight history, stats, bio, sponsorship rate, and clickable links to your online and social media platforms with a custom media kit. Media kits starting as low as $50. Also, ask about our custom Facebook page setup, apps, fighter and fight promotion websites, and more. Visit us online today at www.jaxmedia.ca. Jax Media. Design. MMAMadhouse.com would like to thank their sponsors. Clench Custom Mouthguards, Brawl Base, Pro-Am Belts, Game Changer Clothing, Draco Impact Armor, Hype Fight Store, Intimidation Clothing, Ink Tank Tattoo, 24 in LV, Crossroader Clothing, Central Oregon Trike, Triumph Fitness, Vision Smoke Shop, Tank Crimes, Big T's Nightclub, and Jack's Me. Always supporting local MMA. You're listening to MMAMadhouse.com live.
All right, everybody, welcome to MMA Madhouse Live. This is a Tuesday special edition. We're going to sit down tonight, and originally we were going to spend just an hour with Prime Fighting, but you guys know us. We're going to have Swayze on in the second hour, Swayze Valentine, to break some big news that came down this weekend. But this whole first hour is going to be us talking about a promotion out of the Pacific Northwest. Their going to event is Saturday, September 28th. It's called Prime Fighting 2. It's at Clark County Fairgrounds. I believe that's just north of Vancouver, not too far. We have Joe from Prime Fighting with us, and I believe we also have Mr. Trent Standing with us.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Oh, doing wonderful, Trent. Welcome to Madhouse Live. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy day to sit down with us and spend some time going over this card. Joe's online with us as well.
I was just
talking with Joe a little bit, and we just, right before the show started, so we haven't really done much other than tell the date and the time, but I got to tell you, Trent, you built a ridiculously good card here. There are some great, great fights.
Well, it was pretty easy. Joe kind of laid the groundwork, so to speak, with the first Prime Fighting that we did a few months ago. It was a fantastic show, and it really drew a whole lot of attention here in the Northwest, especially from the pros that were all scrambling to get on that first card. And he's kind of come along and blown the doors off the second card and put, what, two times the pro fights on here. I think we have seven pro fights scheduled and contracts signed, ready to go here on September 28th. And not only that, but a whole host of amateur champions versus amateur champions. And darn near every one of the pros on our card is a former amateur champion. So, I mean, if there's a card not to miss, this is the one. It's so star-studded, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I got to point out, that's 100% true. You've got probably one of the best cornermen in the game today fighting at 170, and that's Nick Gilardi. I mean, that guy is phenomenal cornerman. Obviously, everybody in the Pacific Northwest, and anybody really who follows MMA should know that name. That's a great fight right there against Justin. How quick was Nick to take that fight?
You know, Nick was actually scheduled to fight last Prime Fighting, and he was going to be one of our main events, our featured fights, and he had some medical issues that he had to clear up. And I'll tell you what, you know, people forget that he's Coach of the Year from Gym of the Year. And more than anything, Nick Gilardi is old school. I mean, this guy goes back before I even started fighting back in, what, 2001, 2002? This guy goes way back, and he's fought UFC veterans. I mean, the guy's been pro a long, long time, and, you know, he's a former Desert Brawl champion. And, I mean, if you look down who he's basically fought the who's who at 170 in the Northwest, and I guess you could kind of say semi-regionally down with all the California boys he's gone up against that made the UFC. So we are very happy to have him in this prime fighting. But I'll tell you what, he has a fight on his hands with Milani, who is another former champion who was a big boy. I believe his belt is from heavyweight, if I'm not mistaken. And he's all the way down to 170 pounds now. So you can expect this kid to come out guns blazing. It's going to be a pretty high-paced, fast-paced fight.
Yeah, I'm definitely – that's in – you know, obviously, like you said, Nick's been around this game a long time, in the ring and out of the ring. He has brought along some amazing fighters that we've all got to watch grow. So it's nice to see, you know, coaches sometimes, you know, get back in the cage. And obviously, he's still got the talent level. But, you know – your main event, I mean, let's just talk about that. I mean, Eric Ramsey, Jason Lambert, that should be a barn burner. I wouldn't be surprised to see a pretty nasty finish in that.
Yeah, you know, one of the things I'm worried about, Skippy, is this fight going for, or this show going 2 days long, because all these fights are so evenly matched. And, you know, 3 5-minute rounds for these pros lasts a long time. I expect the main event to go the distance. Jason Lambert, he's one of those guys that are known for absolutely being able to take a punch over and over and over and popping right back up like a Weeble Wobble. Eric Ramsey is known for giving the punches. And I'll tell you what, if this hits the ground, it could be really interesting, because I think Jason Lambert's ground game is vastly underrated. I think Eric Ramsey's ground game, you know, he displayed a lot of his ground game up there at Emerald Queen Casino in his pro debut. But I'll tell you what, he's a phenomenal wrestler. It's almost impossible to ground, you know.
Hey,
first
Trent.
Off.
Trent, sorry to cut you off. Does somebody got a computer on?
No.
Not me.
Yeah. You hear me better now with my echo? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, Trent. It's just, we got a weird echo. I don't know why. That's odd. yeah, you see that? Hold on, Trent. Let me see what I can do to fix this. Hold on 1 second, Trent. Let me see. I'm gonna mute everybody's mics up real quick and see what happens. Okay. I got it. There we go. Okay, Trent, I got rid of it. There we go. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Okay, that should be better. That should all be fixed. Now, I'm sorry, dude. For some reason, it was picking up feedback off another microphone from a caller that's not even live yet. So, okay. Yeah, I apologize, Trent. You were talking about your wrestling, the wrestling aspect. That's where I cut you off because of their game.
Right. Now, Eric Ramsey, I would go far enough as calling Eric Ramsey a wrestler with just standout phenomenal hands. The kid is almost impossible to take down. And once you get him on the ground, he's not a pleasure, you know, it's not a fun time either. So this fight could get real interesting if it hits the ground with Lambert and Ramsey, you know, but even if it keeps on their feet, like I said, Lambert can take a punch, he could dish one out. He has vicious knees because the kid's, what, 6'2", you know, 6'2", at 170 pounds, so he's a pretty decent size, 170, and that just could be his key to winning this fight, because Ramsey's a shorter 170. You know, he's a lot shorter than Lambert. Lambert lands on those big knees, and it could be over just as quick as one of Ramsey's right hands. So that's a fight that could go the distance. It could go 2 minutes into the first round. We'll have to see.
You know, if I was a betting man, I would say that, you know, we're going to see somebody definitely get finished in that fight, and I think it might be early. I think we might see some hands slinging pretty fast right off the bat. Them guys are aggressive, so that's going to be a good fight.
I would agree with you. I'm leaning more that direction than I am in going the distance. But like I said, Lambert has a lot of range on him, and Ramsey, especially being the shorter guy, it's tough to jump into range on those guys and get good hands on him. So I don't know. We might be surprised.
Well, for the fans out there, let's jump down to just below Nick. We got a 145 pro fight. It's going to be Justin Mark versus Damon Jordan. I believe we've got an FCF champ. Is he now? Is he currently the champ, or is he a previous champ?
They're both FCSF former champs. Justin Mark and Damon Jordan were actually supposed to fight each other as amateurs, and for one reason or another, it never came about. But I'll tell you what, these guys wanted to fight each other. It's just one of those things that were real easy and fell into place. They're both really high-paced fighters. Damon Jordan comes, you know, right from the opening bell like he's been shot out of a gun barrel. That kid comes out, goes 100 miles per hour, and he's always had cardio to back it up. He just keeps going and going and going. And how he wins most of his fights is he plays flat, is such high-paced, turbulent. He's just a tornado when he catches people in bad positions. Justin Monk comes out a little bit slower, and this could be one of those fights that I wouldn't call it an upset, but I'll tell you what, I'm right in the middle, but Damon Jordan, I would say, probably has a little bit better chance to take this than what Justin Mark does. Justin Mark's going to have to really slow this fight down to get a hold of Jordan, I think. And this is one of my dark horse, you know, fight of the night picks, these two going at it. Cause it's going to be, that fight's going to be nice. It's going to be a good fight.
I agree. I like it. I agree that Justin's definitely going to need to bring it to his game. He's going to want to play his game in there, and I think he's going to want to keep it tight and dirty on the ground against the cage. I think that's where he'll get it. I do like that matchup a lot. I think fans out there should really pay attention, especially because if this was a fight previous, and you know as well as I do, we've all seen fighters at the amateur rank that never got the fight, but when they get to that pro rank and there's a paycheck, it's a whole nother story.
Oh, yeah. And you know, Damon Jordan's wrestling game is one of those things that's really underrated, too. He came out, he just recently fought Mo Abed at Fisticuffs for that 155 title. And I haven't seen Mo Abed taken down so easy so many times in the first round. It was almost silly. I would call that first round a 10-8 round. And Mo Abed, right now, I would say is easily within the top two or three 155s of the Northwest. He is a really, really tough kid. And Damon Jordan came out double leg after double leg after double leg and kept tipping Mo Abed on his head. So I think how it's going to go is Mark's going to end up off his back, and he's going to have to work off his back, but I don't know. We're just going to have to see. Because Justin Mark, I mean, he's no slouch either. Justin Mark is good. He's good on his feet. He's great on his feet. He's great on the ground. He's great everywhere. So those two match up really, really good.
Well, let's jump down a little bit because you have another pro 145, which I actually think is going to be – could easily be the fight of the night. Just knowing the styles, knowing the characters, knowing the gyms, but the Zane and Brad fight, I got to ask you, with you having both these fights, is there something you're trying to look at for a future fight down the road by putting both these sets of fights on one card?
You know, Joe's big, you know, like I said again, give all the credit to Joe. His we want to start putting out belts out there for the pros to fight locally and get to that point. These two, Zane Barren and Bad Brad, they don't have a fantabulous amateur record, but I'll tell you what, they're always in the fight. They're always fight of the night type quality guys. And, you know, we could be seeing that down the road, winner on winner of those two facing off for a belt. We could see it, 145 pounds. You know, even throw in Dylan Atkinson, who normally fights at 135 pounds. This last time, the first prime fighting went up to a catch weight of 140. I'm sure he's ready to throw his name in the hat too. We almost had a fight for him on this card, but the other kid that he was fighting, Torres, had scheduling conflict. So that was kind of a bummer that we didn't get him in there. Cause...
Hey, Joe, we lost. It looks like we lost Trent for a second. Perfect time for me to bring you on board. Let me ask you about that. Trent mentioned something about the future of your company and what you guys plan on doing. And let's be honest, there's not a lot of successful pro events in the Pacific Northwest in the last 2 years. You guys have come out of the gate super strong. And at this point, you're getting ready to knock out Prime Fighting 2 September 28th at the Clark County Fairgrounds. But Trent mentioned it. You guys are looking a little bit down the road, maybe long term, to start making weight classes with championships behind that. How important is that to you, and what is the time frame, or if you guys even have one?
We're trying to put on events quarterly right now, at least, you know, once every 3 months. That way we can get in a good repetition, at least here in the Vancouver area. And if we start expanding out into other markets, it might be more than once a quarter. But, you know, getting these multiple fights in these different weight divisions and start getting, you know, a good solid fighter base and getting these guys belts, it helps throw some legitimacy behind the company and helps build that fighter confidence in our company. You know, so we are looking out for, you know, a year out as far as our planning goes. And if we keep on having the good sponsorships from like Viking and Hooters, you know, we'll be able to keep doing these good events like this.
Trent, are you back?
Yeah, I actually hit the mute button while I was talking, and thank the iPhone for that.
Well, it's all right. It worked out perfect. So you guys know my partner Prime Lapaki's with us now. He was running a little late, but. Lapaki, we're breaking down the card right now. We're talking about the pro fight. I would like to jump back up the card a little bit. Jason Pittman, anybody who knows, this kid's a seriously good fighter, and he's only getting better. You guys got him facing Rob Gibbs. What are you guys seeing in this fight? Because I'll be honest, Rob Gibbs is a good fighter, but I think Jason Pittman's just on another level than a lot of 205ers in the Pacific Northwest.
You know, Pittman has really good hands. He's very accurate. He throws good combinations. You know, he's good on the ground. He's good in transition. Kind of one of the things that has kind of plagued Jason Pittman is raw strength. Gibbs, on the other hand, everywhere where Pittman is a little bit weak, he is accelerated at. Gibbs is extraordinarily strong. I would call him a brawler instead of a fighter. He wants to step right into the pocket, get right in your face, and throw big combinations that hurt you. He's the exact opposite of Jason Pittman, who a lot of times will go out and want to pick away and demoralize someone and take away their legs and take away their chin. He's the exact opposite. So this fight right here is an absolute mismatch as you can get stylistic-wise. Gibbs wants to stand up and bang it out. Pittman might end up wanting to go to the ground and pull him into guard. You never know. Gibbs trained with me up at Arsenal Combat there for about 6-8 months, and I'll tell you what, the kid is strong. I'd get in the cage with him, hit him with everything that I could, and he would shake his head and come right back at me. And anytime a fighter does that, it's something to worry about. And I can say the same thing about Jason Pittman. I've done rounds and rounds and rounds with Jason Pittman. I've known Jason Pittman since I started fighting the early days of Kurt's old gym, where Pittman came over from the dark side of boxing over to the MMA world. And Pittman's the same way. I'll hit him as hard as I can. He'll just shake his head, you know, come right back with a 3-4-5-punch combination. So these two guys are going to be that's another fight that's just – all these fights make me so happy, Skippy, because it's like, you know, as a matchmaker, you typically on a card, I'll have two or three fights I'm pretty anxious to see. This card, because of the funding that's come in from all the great sponsors, because of Joe building the foundation for Prime Fighting, these guys have all wanted to fight on these cards. So I've pretty much handpicked, you know, it's like Christmas for me. I've handpicked these guys to go up against each other, and they're all fantabulous fights.
Now,
has Pittman fought Baron?
What's that?
Has Pittman fought Nick Baron?
Yeah, he fought Nick Byron last FCFS. I believe it went into the fifth round, and Byron clipped Pittman, I think, in the fourth round, if I remember right, and created an eye issue, and Pittman couldn't see the final round. I had that fight, I believe, going into the fifth round. I think it was 2-2 round-wise. Pittman came on in the second round, the third round. I thought Byron won the first and fourth, if I remember right. So he was neck and neck with Nick Byron, who, in my opinion, that kid's almost UFC-quality material right now as an amateur.
Sky's the limit, man. I mean, if you don't get one hit quit by Nick Byron, dude, you're doing pretty good.
Yeah, and he stood right in there for four rounds and banged it out with him. So, you know, that highlighted Pittman's style, to where he wants to dance around a lot, great footwork, good combinations, and he hung right in there with Byron, and that was a fantastic fight.
Yeah, last time I saw Jason fight was at Budo 8 when he tapped out. Who's the pizza guy, Skippy?
Matthews.
Jared Matthews. Yeah,
but yeah. Jared Matthews, folks, remember in that beginning of that fight, he tried to play that dirty inside game. And Pittman did, like Trent just pointed out, first of all, that reach, but he stepped back and started playing that footwork game and cutting it off and just picking him apart until he got Matthews to try to shoot, and then that was the end of the game. But that's my concern, is that Rob gets in there and tries to play dirty, but I didn't realize that his power is one of his big strengths, because obviously that wasn't for Matthews, because he more than anything pissed off Pittman at that point. But if Gibbs can get in there and play dirty, we've seen Pittman get frustrated from that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, Gibbs has a lot of power behind his punches, though. He's not a point scorer. He comes in and his intention is to knock you out. His intention is to throw three punches, and that third punch that's coming down the line, that's a right hand that comes cross body, is to stop the fight. He's not playing for points, and he's not playing to win a round. His intentions are to come in and stop the fight. I mean, that kid has a lot of strength behind him, and he's country tough. That kid is one of the mentally toughest kids I've seen in a long, long time. He is country tough. He doesn't have any quit in him. That's going to be a really, really good fight.
Trent, how's Jim's ground game? I see Jason having a huge advantage there.
You know, I think Jason is a purple belt, if I'm not mistaken, out of their shit system. But it's there again. Gibbs is so freaking strong. Going back to where, you know, when he was with me at Arsenal, you would take the kid down and he would just country kid's strength, stand right back up and get right back out of it. He's very well versed on the ground. I would say a very high blue belt level, jits-wise. He does all the basics very good, and him being as strong as he is and him being as in as good as cardio shape as what he is makes everything that much easier for him. So I would say he's at least high blue belt level, jits-wise, on the ground. So even if this goes to the ground and Jason's on his back, he could be in a lot of trouble with Gibbs on top of him because, there again, Gibbs doesn't need very much space to get enough momentum on his punch to end the fight real quick. He is very, very strong.
Would you say he likes to use elbows like Tito Ortiz in 1999?
You know, I haven't seen him use elbows because in the gym we didn't throw elbows on each other. So, you know, when it comes to elbows, honestly, I don't have a clue. But I know, you know, this is both these guys' debut fights. Usually, you know, it takes pros a couple fights to break into the elbows for that first instinct to be throw that elbow instead of throw that right hand.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know which one of them is going to pop one of those elbows off first. And all it takes is a little cut to stop a fight. But I'll tell you what, I would not want to be Jason Pittman. I wouldn't want to be Trent standing and have Rob Gibbs on top of me throwing punches or any kind of elbows down on me.
Yeah, I think you see that with both, you know, the knees and the elbows a lot when those guys make that pro debut. You'll hear the corners a lot yelling, knee.
Yeah.
And then, like I watched that, especially, I remember Alfonso Gonzalez's pro debut. You could hear Eddie Blackburn in the corner, knee. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, you just saw Alfonso, and he was like, oh, yeah, I can use this. Bam!
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, now, let's jump to the big boys, man. You've got somebody that who came out of Rogue Fights as a champion in the Madhouse Chris De La Rocha fight. Folks, this is the big boy. These guys, I see this fight being a bloody mess quick.
This is a very, you know, this is one of those fights that I don't know what to think about because, honestly, I've never seen Howell fight. I've never seen him. A lot of these guys I've seen fight. I've never seen Howell fight. I've heard about him. I've heard he's very good. You know, I've heard the term ultra good, you know, phenomenal, all that type of thing about Howell. I have never seen him. So, you know, as far as having a gauge on Howell, I don't know. I do know about De La Rocha. I mean, he only has 4 amateur fights, but every one of the amateur fights have been over really, really fast. So this could be a good test for De La Rocha. Howell, I know, has about twice as many fights as De La Rocha has. So, that's a lot of experience. I know he's got a lot longer. He's probably spent 4 times the ring time, so to speak, in the cage that De La Rocha has. And that's a big thing, especially when you're making your pro debut, to go from the amateur ranks to the pro ranks in just 4 fights. You know, it is a big question mark. But I'll tell you what, there was no one around here at heavyweight that could hang with De La Rocha, so he might as well have gone pro. But that's going to be that fight right there has a big question mark on it. We'll see just how good Howell is and just how experienced De La Rocha is and see if it has any effect on the fight.
Yeah, I got to say, I think you'll be impressed when you see Howell's ground game. I think he's got strong hands. I mean, it's kind of stereotypical to say this, but he's kind of like a Roy Nelson-style fighter. He's just super gritty. He doesn't look like much. He's got great ground game, and he's got solid hands. So this is a fight I really would like to see because I've seen Matt fight a few times, and I like his style. I like his aggression. So and obviously everybody up here, you know, we've all seen, Chris fight throughout the Pacific Northwest. So this is going to be an interesting fight. And I think it's a fight that he can win. I think Chris can win this. He's got the talent. He's got the drive. He's got the, training behind him. He, like you said, he's just stepping in there with a vet, and this is a great test to see where he really is.
You're making me excited for this fight, Skippy.
I think this is one of the better fights on your card that fans probably won't know about, but I think this could be a really good fight, especially for heavyweights.
and you know, and again, it goes back to Joe being able to put these on here to where guys like me who stay around, I would, you know, but Upper Oregon, I guess, Central Oregon, Upper Oregon, Southwest Washington, and watch the guys. It's nice that Joe is putting on these where we can pull guys, other champions from like Rogue up here, like Howell, so we can get a taste of this guy that's Oregon that I've never even seen. So it's nice. It's like, you know, champion down there, champion versus up here, champion. Let's see, you know, what they got and let's do it.
Well, and that's the best way for these guys to be able to climb the ladder, Trent. You know, I mean, if you keep fighting in your own livestock grounds, you're never going to climb that ladder. But, you know, when guys like you and Joe are given opportunity for Chris and Matt to show, hey, I'm a champion from down here and he's a champion from up there, that's how these guys can build a name and start to climb that ladder.
Exactly. And that's our big goal for Prime, is to create a competition ground where guys here in the Northwest can start getting better, because there hasn't been any. I mean, I think we have as many pro fights on this one card as what all of Oregon has had this entire year. So, you know, it's almost extinct in Oregon. So it's like, you know, let's bring them across the river, all the Oregon guys across the river, do it over here and put them in belts and put them in big fights here and home grow them, so to speak, instead of ship them up into Washington or ship them down into California to do it where, you know, their fan base can't see it. You know, it's a lot different watching something on TV or reading results the next day opposed to seeing them get in the cage and throw down firsthand.
Oh, for sure.
Hey,
so many see so much more live than you do, you know, on any screen.
Hey, Joe, let me ask you, you know, Lopaki touched on something I think is important. And how much of that, when you sat down to start Prime Fighting, was I need to bring in guys not just from, you know, Oregon or not just from Washington, but I need guys from California. I want champs from Nevada. I want champs from Idaho. How much of that was in the original game plan?
It became apparent that, you know, what we have in the area, it's such a high caliber talent that we foster within the Southwest Washington and the Portland area, that we're going to have to bring in talent from other places just to give these guys really good challenges. You know, I started this company with Leonard Gabriel at my side, helping me along at the Fiskus gym. And, he's pretty instrumental in helping me set this all up. So, you know, big thanks to him for, you know, help laying that foundation. And then, you know, Trent, he says, oh, you know, give me all the praise and, you know, it was really easy for him. But he's been working his butt off and getting these guys matched up. Right. And it's amazing. This card right here is, it's got me really excited for the 28th. I'll tell you what.
You know, it's funny. First of all, we're huge fans of Leonard Lopaki and myself. We've had him on this show probably 30
Leonard's
times.
My boy, man. Leonard's the man.
Yeah, we love Leonard, so that's a great thing. And then you obviously, you know, and there's nobody who can doubt that Trent Standing hasn't had his finger in some fashion of MMA.
I don't want to know what Trent had his finger in, Skippy. I don't want to know what Trent had his finger in.
But, you know, now Trent gets to step back, and for once, Trent, you're not having to deal with all the secondary issues. You get to focus on the fight. How much of a relief has that been working for Prime Fighting?
Oh, it's like I said, it's been a dream. I mean, there hasn't really been any secondary issues. It's 100% of my focus has been on getting these guys matched up. Now, and then, you know, once they're matched up, making sure everyone has, you know, their medicals done and all this stuff. You know, a lot of people don't know how many hoops you need to jump through just to be a professional fighter, how much money you got to lay out. And that's why sponsors are so important, not just sponsors for Prime Fighting, who, you know, we have a bunch of great sponsors for Prime Fighting, but sponsors for fighters, you know, guys that are willing to go to fighters and be like, hey, I'll pay your eye, I'll pay your blood. Just little things like that add up in a quick hurry. Sure, I'll pay your physical. So once these guys sign the contract and they're on the card, then they still have to go through, you know, all the medical, get checked out, file their license for the state of Washington, get their training letters, all this type of thing. So that's pretty much what we're focused on right now with Prime. But like I said, everyone has just been scrambling to get on this card. It's been the easiest thing in the world. It's just like matching up dominoes, you know, putting one guy with another that I think would be great fights. And hopefully, you know, luckily, September 28th, they get to show that. You know, they can step in the cage. Everyone can perform at the level I think they're at, and we'll have great fights.
Now, this is, I guess, either, you know, Trent, you can answer this, or Joe, whoever has the better answer, or the, you know, who knows. Are we going to continue to see a pro-am card from now on, period, because you guys are trying to develop amateurs to become pros, or you guys are just trying to give an opportunity and are going to go strictly pro someday?
I'll let you take that, Joe.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to keep it a pro-am card. That way we can get the amateur guys that bigger show feeling and help groom them to get that, you know, to lead them into that professional career and kind of grow that mindset for them. And I think it's important to give the higher caliber amateur fighters a big show fight on.
But I love that. Anybody who follows the sport, we all know amateur is important, but it's great to see you guys put on pros again. And you know, there's not, like I said earlier tonight, there's not a lot of opportunities in the, you know, 2 years ago for guys, 18 months ago, 12 months ago. And now, you know, companies like yourself giving these guys a chance, you know, I love it. And I love the fact, you know, we haven't touched on your amateur card. I mean, your pro card itself is great. And speaking of your amateur card, Trent, have you found a fight for Mo yet?
I right now have in the works a kid's committed. He actually kickboxes this Sunday, if I remember right, and we'll know for sure right after that. So his name's Cameron Kirby, and he has a record almost exactly like Mo's. That is supposed to be a tough, tough kid up from up north. And he's supposed to be coming down, and, you know, everything I've seen on him and everything I've heard from him, he's going to match up really, really tough with Mo. So Mo better come in with his A game or he's going to get upset. I mean, that's just the way it is. Those kids up north have a lot more shows they can hit. They have a lot more competition. So right now, the sad thing is even though Oregon used to be heads and tails better than Washington, the kids from up north, you know, Olympia, Seattle, that type of area, get a lot more shows, they get a lot more fights, they train with a lot more people, and it's kind of the old steel, sharpened steel thing. Mo's gonna have a fight on his hands, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, let's be honest, there's a lot of great amateurs developing in Washington right now. And you're right. It's because they have the opportunities to not only fight, but to cross train with a lot more gyms and a lot more talent. I mean, how many UFC, Bellator, M1, you know, judo fighters are from the Pacific Northwest, basically out of Washington, really? A huge, huge number of fighters have made it to that upper level throughout the world fighting out of Washington.
Right.
I think the training aspect in Oregon hasn't really dropped off. I mean, you still have guys like Enoch and Nick Gilardi, 503, Art of War, Northwest Martial Arts, Jimmy Smith, Impact MMA. I mean, you know, there's a long list. I just wish that some of these guys that are trying to fight here would like, realize that they're just wasting their time. Don't waste your money on an Oregon license. Just get one in Washington and just fight,
yeah.
fight.
I hate to say that, though, because, you know, Kevin Keeney is a good friend of mine, and the FCFF has been around forever, and the FCFF has put out a lot of UFC guys.
Yeah.
It's just – and you know what sucks the most is it's not the show's fault there in Oregon. It's the
Ozak's
fault. And that's what's hurting everybody. So hopefully – I'll put a positive spin on and just say I'm crossing my fingers for things to change in Ozak. But, you know – but you are. You're seeing more and more guys come up to Washington and kind of bypassing the Oregon shows because that's if that's where pros are at, if that's what's, you know, on their radar, if that's where they're wanting to go, a guy like Paul Sims wants to fight in Prime Fighting because he knows if he puts on a good show, the Prime Fighting, as soon as he turns pro, is going to hire him and put, you know, put him on the pro card. So,
but
now, you know,
that
that's
gives
a big advantage.
That gives you a great advantage being tied to Oregon MMA for as long as you have been, knowing the gyms and saying, look, you guys fight locally when you can, but don't think you can't come up here and fight and because we've got great competition and you guys are developing pros. You know, I mean, to me, it's a win-win for you, honestly, because, you know, you can hit up fighters who haven't had to fight in the last 3 months, so you know they're ready, you know they're not injured. You know, so you've got a little bit of an opportunity by giving them this great platform to go to basically a great pro show and fight.
Yeah, but I'm from Oregon. I grew up here fighting in Oregon. It doesn't make me happy, to be honest with you, Skippy. I mean, I'm an Oregon kid.
Oh, I know. I know it doesn't make you
happy. It's sad. It's sad. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you know, and there again, credit to Joe for putting on this prime right across the river to where all these guys can go up there and do that from Oregon. It's great. And matter of fact, speaking of that, just here recently, we added one of the Oregon champions from the FCFF, Ryan Walker, who was the 170 champion in the FCFF out of Sports Lab. He's facing off against Tony Bufa. Who was the first Friday Fight champion, who was SAMA champion. I believe he was rope champion at one time. I can't remember the other championship he had. But Tony Bufa, I'll tell you what, is a go-getter. And that's going to be a heck of a fight, too, in the amateur ranks. Ryan Walker has his work cut out for him. And that's another one of the big – that's one of the big fights, even though they're amateurs – that I'm excited to see. That's another champion. You know, they actively hold their championships in the FCFF and SAMA fights. So that's another one that's going to be a great thing to see.
Now, you know,
yeah,
it's funny.
Hold on, Skippy. I agree. I mean, I don't like having to say that about Oregon, but at the end of the day, I want to see the fighters succeed and have the best opportunity to succeed. And unfortunately, right now, in this state, they don't have that opportunity.
I agree 100% with you. It's sad. I think it's sad. I mean, it literally puts me into a little depression, honestly.
Hey,
well, Trent, I wasn't trying to depress you, buddy.
Hey, you should have seen. I mean, you know, we're all friends with JT. You know, he's been here in the studio quite a bit. And, you know, we were talking a couple weeks back, and you know, he was telling stories of the old days. We're just, you know, BS and two guys hanging out. And you should see the excitement and passion he had about those days, Trent, when you were fighting for Desert Brawl, you know. And I can't imagine because, you know, I grew up in Europe. I didn't grow up in Oregon, you know. But I can't imagine just the few years that I've gotten to know the fighters and gyms here. Yeah, I can't imagine seeing it get any worse. It sucks. It really does. But I'm glad that somebody like you, and you know, me and you butted heads on different issues. There's things I agree. There's things you don't agree with. There's things we both agree with. And this is one thing I totally support you guys and Prime Fighting on, is giving these amateurs a great platform like this. And pros.
Yeah, and we're shipping them in, too. You know, I mean, we're bringing in amateurs from Bend. We're bringing them in from Prineville. We're bringing in all the top guys that we can bring in, even as amateurs. You know, even though we know, you know, these guys, when we ship them in here, aren't going to bring a whole lot of people. We're bringing them in for the show quality-wise for people to go, wow, look at these two amateur fights that are champions. They're damn near on the level as these pros are. And that's what we want people to see, is them open their eyes to go, wow, there's not a whole lot of difference between these debut pros and these top-level amateurs, you know. So
and
hopefully everything will go fluid.
The Mike Savage-Jake Marshall fight will probably show that to a letter. And Lepaki's the first to say this, and I agree with him. He says, your last couple amateur fights should be tougher than your first pro fight. And,
yeah,
you know, that right there is a definite testament to that statement. Mike Savage, Jake Marshall. I mean, that's going to be a great amateur fight to really see the future of 135 in the Pacific Northwest.
I've got a question,
Jake,
though.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Trent. Go ahead, buddy.
Jake Marshall's tough. He's a phenomenal wrestler. But I'll tell you what, Mike Savage is just TNT. He's a short little dude. And we saw him last time in Prime Fighting number one fight a submission specialist out of Gladiator MMA. And that kid just, he flowed from armbar to triangle choke to Uma Pilata to you name it. That kid flowed jiu-jitsu-wise, and Mike Savage hung in there for five rounds with that kid, not getting submitted and beaten on him to win. Jake Marshall has his work cut out for him, too.
Now, Trent, I just want to know, man. You, I was at your last fight. You had the most awesome walkout of the night. Now, will you be doing that at the upcoming Prime Fight card prior to the event? Will you maybe walk out and then do the cage announcing?
Oh, are you talking about up there at Cage Warrior Combat?
Yeah, dude. I mean,
you want me to dance out? You want me to dance
in
the cage?
You're walking around like you're dancing around like Mayweather. I was like,
this
guy's dancing with the stars.
If I get some regulars to follow me, I just might do it. I don't know. We'll see.
I gotta tell you, dude, that was a great walkout, man. I mean, honestly, I just remember sitting there going, this guy can fucking dance?
I think the dancing took longer than what the fight did, though. That's the downside.
Well, you know, Trent, you definitely, you know, not just matchmaking, but announcing, you've always, you know, I love your aggression, your style. You almost bring that old school WWF feel to the microphone. I love it, man. So hopefully, you know, one day we'll see Prime Fighting. You know, Joe might be able to mention something on TV or maybe an iPay-per-view down the road for fans around the country to watch. But if they do, you've definitely got to get behind that mic, man, because you're there will be knees. There will be blood.
Were you sad to see Jim Ross retire this week?
You know what? Honestly, I don't even know who Jim Ross is.
Oh, come on, man. You do too good of a WWE announcing when you're announcing MMA to not know who the great Jim Ross is.
Honestly, the last time I watched any kind of WWE, I was like in fourth grade and like Hulk Hogan was wrestling.
He was around then.
Do I sound like him?
Dude, yeah, you have a very similar cadence.
Really? Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. I'll have to look him up now.
Yeah.
Dude, he's the best ever.
Yeah, he's probably one of the greatest ring announcers ever and commentators. We get that same feel from you. You know, that's something. Obviously, the passion comes through, not just in, you know, your matchmaking, but in your mic skills. Anybody who's heard you on the streams, which, you know, I own every single one of them on DVD, so I've heard you a million times. But the way you come out, especially when there's, you know, pros and you're like, there will be blood, there will be knees, and the way you just, the fans go crazy, that's almost part of the show.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, honestly, I've been doing this for like a long time now. And I even get goosebumps. When I'm in there with a good fight, one of the fights that I really want to see, I even get goosebumps. I mean, it's just special. Being in the cage and being a part of two guys that, you know, I can say it, I'm as much of a fan as anyone else. I love this stuff. And when I put guys like Gilardi and Milani together or Jordan and Mark together, when I'm in the cage and I'm announcing them, I get goosebumps. So I'm sure that, you know, help somewhat.
Trent, do you think that Nick Gilardi is one of the best coaches in the corner during a fight in the Pacific Northwest?
Between him and Enoch, yep, absolutely. And not just in the North. I mean, I've been all around. I've been, you know, I've fought all over the Western United States, and him and Enoch both are just phenomenal. You know, Enoch goes a little bit. His guys go off a little bit more raw gym work. Nick Gilardi's guys go off game plan. That's the difference between the two of those. And Nick Gilardi's guys stick to the game plan. They're absolutely focused on it. They're their eyes on the prize, so to speak, and they don't so much as waver one little bit off that path of what they're supposed to do. And that's the type of thing that makes a great coach, is if you can take one of your fighters and focus them so much to where exactly this is what they got to do step by step, and they go out and do it. I mean, that's what a great coach is. I mean, focusing your athletes to do that, he does it. I mean, he's phenomenal.
Yeah, I totally agree, dude. I mean, it's like sometimes, like, if Nick has a guy fighting, I have a hard time watching the fight and not trying to watch what Nick does, because I'm just like, like, oh, you know. And, I mean, and that happens. Like, I also have that feeling about Landon Showalter up at Arlington Kickbox Academy, Eddie Blackburn, Mick Gilardi. I haven't seen Enoch Corner as much because typically he's in with the gloves on when I see him. But, you know, I mean,
well,
I think you're absolutely right.
Watch Mick Gilardi when he walks his fighters in. It, every time during the introduction, he'll be called in the other introduction. He'll be pointing at the other fighter, talking to the other fighter, and be like, you're going to get in there, you're going to take a shot, you're going to rotate out, you're going to put him into this cage, you're going to put him, that type of thing. Is he's like pointing, and you can see the confidence, I mean, you can see everything, the confidence level, the focus, everything in that fighter. I mean, it looks like they grow 6 inches right there, right then and there, and put on 40 pounds right there in the cage in front of you. So,
yeah, no,
that's
totally
the difference between a phenomenal coach and just a good coach. And Nick Gilardi is a phenomenal coach. And now we get to see how well he can fight.
Yeah, no, you're so right, because exactly what you're talking about, I saw Dario Mobley's last fight against Carl Edwards. And I remember, like, before the fight, like, Nick had this, like, weird thing that he was doing with his hand, and he was like, it was like he was trying to imitate a snake, and he was, like, telling Dario, he's like, you're just going to strike him, strike him, hit him.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck is this guy doing?
Yep. It's like voodoo. It's voodoo magic. I don't know how he does it, but it's voodoo magic, and it works out well for him, so he shouldn't change anything.
I definitely agree.
Well, hey, before we run out of time, I want to make sure that, Joe, we'll start with you. Joe, any information about Prime Fighting 2 Saturday, September 28th at the Clark County Fairgrounds that you want to get out? Anything, sponsors, tickets, whatever. Take this time. It's yours.
So, first of all, I'd like to thank Viquan. They are huge supporters of local MMA. They are ecstatic about keeping mixed martial arts in Southwest Washington and give a great venue for, you know, these guys to start building their records. Hooters, they're supporting us again. Come out, watch the Hooter girls. They're going to be our ring girls. Three Kings Environmental, the Southwest Washington Contractors Association. You can get tickets from any of the fighters on the card. It helps support their cause. They'll make a commission on the fight, on the ticket sales. So, you know, I'm a big supporter of that. Helps support their cause. We want to keep these guys moving. You know, help pay for their training and their, you know, all the athletic commission stuff that they have to get done. And come out and support local MMA. We're gonna have a good time. It's a great card. I'm excited. This is a phenomenal fight card, and I want to thank you guys for having us on here, MMA Madhouse again. We were on here for the last fight card back in April, and, you know, appreciate you guys' support. So.
Oh, and, hey, that's what we're about, man. Look, your events and events like yours all across this country. That's what we're trying to get out. We want those fans and those fighters to have this opportunity. And you know, we appreciate it, and we look forward to every event getting you guys on here.
Yeah, and then two more shout-outs I want to give, and that is to Trent for all the work that he's put into this card. He says it's been easy, but it's got tough moments, and he's been doing a great job. And then Leonard Gabriel for help set me up the foundation for this company.
Hey, Trent, you got some shout-outs. And before I go to that, folks, everybody listening, on MMAMadhouse.com, we have their press release for this event. We have hyperlinked their website, their Facebook, their Twitter. There's a complete fight card on there. So if anybody wants to go and find Prime Fighting on social media, all your links are right there. Trent, you got any shout-outs you want to give, any social media information?
Not as much shout-outs. I just want to kind of reiterate, this is like a big chance for the Northwest to have a big show rooted right here. Oregon, we don't have it anymore. Southwest Washington, we don't have one. The nearest one is Emerald Queen Casino, you know, where we got to drive up to. This is a really good chance to go and support. And luckily, we have almost a different guy from almost every single different gym here, not only in the Portland area, but all over Oregon and Southwest Washington. So pretty much whoever you're affiliated with gym-wise is on the card. This is a big chance to come support a show that is employing your pros and putting food on the table for your pros around here. Like Joe said, buy your tickets from them. They get commissions off the ticket sales. That helps sponsor these fighters to pay for their expenses and more food on their tables to get to the big shows, get where they want to go. They've put in their time at the amateur ranks fighting for you for free. It's time that we all kind of give back a little bit and watch them get paid to fight. So here's your chance. Come out and join us on the 28th.
Now, I've got to ask both of you guys, because we work close with MMA Inside the Cage. Every week they do a Dirty Dozen. Is somebody going to be filming these fights to where if we have some great finishes, we can try to enter them into the Dirty Dozen clip?
I'll let Joe answer that.
Joe, will you be filming this in any aspect?
Yeah, we should have some filming. We had GoPro donate a couple cameras, and I think we'll have about four of them set up around a cage to grab all the angles.
Okay, now and if then, you guys go ahead.
I was going to say, Eric Ramsey, I think, is providing somebody to come in and film his fight. So we'll definitely have some good footage of that one.
Because if you guys got any finishes that are good finishes that you guys want to get entered, first of all, it's shared on a television show worldwide. They've got a huge television deal. But anybody who wins the Dirt Dozen gets free gear. So the fighters will win free gear from the television show. Not only that, your show gets exposure because they tell what event it is and who the fighters are. So, yeah, you guys, something to look into, man. If you guys got some great finishes, let me know. I'll make sure you guys have the right information to get all of those guys and enter it in to get some, you know, national recognition for the fight.
That's awesome.
Skippy,
I appreciate it.
Skippy, yeah. What do you mean, let you know? You better be there front row.
Trent, hold on, Trent.
What's this bullshit with letting you know? You better be there to see this.
Trent, Skippy suffers from social anxiety disorder. There's something with like the central Oregon area where he's afraid to drive farther north than his house and farther south than Redmond.
Well, no, okay. I am now venturing out, now that I got a brand new set of wheels, I'm starting to venture out, and I am going to try to make it. I know that Miss Caitlin wants to cover it as well, so I was thinking about grabbing her and just me and her shooting up there and covering it. But definitely.
Dude, if you had a pair, you'd go up and cover Bellator Friday night with me, and then you'd drive right across the river, and Saturday night you'd cover Prime Fighting while I'm up covering
that. Yep, there you go. That's the plan.
I don't want to watch Bellator. Honestly, they're a good organization, but you guys all know me. I'm more about the local scene. I'd rather go to Prime Fighting 2 than go to, you know, Hellator.
Don't use my verbiage.
I have
a trademark. I'm going to trademark Hellator. I'm telling you.
If you guys want to cut the show, make sure you get a hold of me. I got some tickets for you.
Okay. Definitely. I'll let Trent know in the next day or two what I'm going to be able to do and who's going to cover it if I don't. But, Trent, I know we're going to touch base with you for like 15 minutes coming up right before the show, fight week, you know, so to make sure everything's still on point, make sure we can give one last push for ticket sales and all that stuff. I got to thank both you gentlemen tonight for taking the time out. Trent, I know you gave up some plans to make this, so I really appreciate you taking that time. Joe, we love working with you guys and getting you guys on the show. We will continue to do this down the road.
For sure.
Sounds good. Get it.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. You have a good night.
Hey, you too, guys.
And folks out there who are waiting, we are going to be grabbing Swayze Valentine, or as my friends say, Suarez. we're going to call her like in 3 seconds.
No, dude, at 8:05, bro.
Oh, well, hey,
you
by the way.
Pay, I figured you needed to pay bills.
Okay,
and so I bought you some time.
One last time, folks. Prime Fighting 2, September 28th at the Clark County Fairgrounds, just outside Vancouver, Washington. Main event, Ramsey Lambert, 170-pound pro fight championship. You guys don't want to miss this card. 8 or 9 pro fights and 4 or 5 amateurs. Great card. Get your tickets from the fighters. Get out there to Hooters. Eat some food. Go to the event. Check out the after parties. Thank you once again, Joe and Trent, for Prime Fighting. Lepaki, it's been an interesting day.
Has it?
Yes.
I don't even know what's going on.
I've been working my butt off on deals.
What are you working on, your stand-up routine? Working your butt off. Nobody's believing that shit.
I've been hustling like a... I've been hustling like a hustler. Because you're a customer, and you're going to eat up and buy up what I'm selling.
I'm sure, bro. I'm sure. Most definitely. I couldn't agree with you anymore.
Straight up, it has been just like, I've been making things happen all day, man. If everything goes good, even though I am not going to make the September 28th event in Japan, we might be able to watch it live. Well, we are going to be able to watch it live.
I'm already planning on watching it live.
Wait, we've got the password and the code, but what I mean, like, we is it might be on GFL for all the fans to watch that event.
Oh, that would be the best.
Hey, folks, it's the Maha Dojo Maha.
Dude, it's Mock Dojo, bro. Quit with
dude,
the bullshit. I don't care what Singh told you. I don't care what Singh told you.
Singh called me up and he was like, "Are you retarded?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "Mock. How do you pronounce that as Mock?" He goes, "That's Maha." And I was like,
"Dude,
well,
it's pronounced Mock the same way as I pronounce Mach 5. M-A-C-H. There's no Mach." I love Singh to death, but he's not right on this one.
He's Asian. You're white. I think he knows better how to say an Asian name.
Hey, one of my best friends is half Japanese.
Hey,
and another good buddy of mine is full Chinese, mother effer.
Hey, I ate at P.F. Chang's today. Does that count? And I also stayed at a Hotel 6. So stupid.
Dude, I prefer the Holiday Inn.
Hotel, motel, Holiday Inn. You know something funny?
Start acting up, then you take her friend, right? Yeah, buddy.
No, dude, I found out, like, Motel 6 and there's another chain, the Marriott. They're, like, overbanked, like, ridiculously player.
They're what?
They're, like, crazy nice.
Motel 6? I don't know,
yeah.
Dude. All I know is that Felipe puts me at the Holiday Inn Express, and I love it.
Well, I think what...
Huh?
I was just looking for a number, but I found it.
Oh.
And by the way, just in case you're listening, no, I have not taken the time to go by email.
To go what?
To go read emails.
From who?
From this article on Millennial. I asked if I'd had a chance. Just now that I saw it. But either way, it doesn't matter. Let's call this young lady. We're going to call her live.
Dude, I'm going to kick your ass.
Well, I'm going to call her off air. Here, I'm going to play a quick commercial and call her back. I'm going to call her.
Yeah, there you go. Now you're being a professional.
All on the road. Please Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all your mouth guard needs.
Intimidation Clothing has proven to be the biggest supporter of local MMA in the industry, sponsoring the top regional events across the globe. While other brands come and go, Intimidation is a brand that represents stability. With over 110 different styles of high-quality t-shirts, hats, hoodies, training gear, and more. Browse our premium quality merchandise at IntimidationClothing.com and use Radio10 to save 10% off your order. When you think local MMA, think Intimidation Clothing. Nobody supports local MMA like Intimidation. Nobody.
All right. Now, I'm super pumped, LaPosse. Guess who we have already in queue, ready to talk about big news?
Well, I'm hoping it's...
Come on.
Lazy Cut Girl.
That's who we've got. How you doing tonight, young lady?
I'm doing so great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing really good. We're doing better now. I got off the phone with the big, fat heavyweight, and I got on the phone with you.
Fantastic.
Now, for everybody out there who might be living under a rock, you're a cut man in the business, a cut lady of... Either way, I apologize. In the combat sports world, but this weekend you dropped some pretty good news and something a little different than working on busted up guys. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I would love to. You know, I got a really awesome opportunity laid on me this weekend, and I'm super stoked about it. And I was contacted by a producer who had seen me at WSOF4 in Cali last month, and her name is Shauna Brakefield. I was asked if I would be interested in playing myself, being a cut woman, in an MMA movie called Jax. So, I mean, I'm so flattered to be asked to play myself in a movie, and absolutely I'll do it. I mean, couldn't be better.
How do you prepare for a role in playing yourself?
You know, I'm not so sure. I know I'm going to go there and I'm going to be myself, and I think that's going to be good enough. And I don't know. They might have some extra lines I might need to throw in there, but other than that, I think it's going to be pretty damn easy to play myself, and I am so excited.
Do you have a catchphrase?
Do I have a catchphrase? I don't, but I think I need to come up with one. Can you help me with that?
I think we should put that out to the people.
A contest.
I think that's an excellent idea.
I think that would be a great contest, and then you could tell them, "Hey, if you ever have a cut and I'm around, I'll sew it up, and that would be the prize."
Oh, that'd be awesome! I think there'd be people down for that. I know I'm down for that.
I love it. I love it. Now,
will they have real cuts or will they have fake cuts for you to close up? I think they should do real cuts.
You know, they do have some real UFC fighters that are going to be cast in this movie as well. So, you know, real cuts are very possible.
Are you willing to point out faults from the plastic makeup artist guy if you don't think that cut looks like a real cut?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think it needs to be as authentic as possible. So... yeah, I mean, shoot, why not have my opinion thrown in there? If I think it needs a little more blood here or maybe a little deeper over there, then I think, you know, we can work together quite nicely and have it come together just fine.
Hollywood is going to love you. You're going to be a rock star.
Aw, I'm not so sure about that. That's all right. I'm just starting small, and you know, I'm definitely not giving up my original goal here. This is going to be a great little project on the side, and I'm so stoked to do it, and I'd like to tell you a little bit about it, actually. so people can get ready to see what we have coming to them.
Yeah.
All right, so this movie, it's called Jacked, and it's an action drama feature film set in the world of mixed martial arts. It's kind of like Rocky meets Die Hard, which is pretty badass, I know. So Shauna Brakefield is one of the producers, and the writer is Anthony Stitt, who was a sport journalist and a former amateur boxer, which is pretty cool, too. What's really neat is, you know, their goal for this movie is to really authentically represent MMA as a sport and to elevate the quality of film. And, you know, how they're doing that is just so great. You know, they're taking extra steps by using real people in the industry like myself. You know, they're going to use Forrest Griffin. We got Stephen Bonner in it. And they're investing training to their actors, you know, to teach them the fight as well as training the fighters to act. I mean, they're really going above and beyond, and they want everyone in the film to look their absolute best because, I mean, they'll only be, I mean, that's the greatest honor to the sport, you know, just look your best. So I think it's brilliant, and I'm super excited, and I just think that it'll be a hit, and people are just going to love this film. It'll be so great for MMA. I just think it's awesome.
Dude, well, they got a stellar lineup right there. I mean, geez, oh, Pete.
I'm so excited about it, as you can tell. Holy cow. I just think it's brilliant. It's just going to be so great.
When the call came through, were you like, hold on, is this a prank? Is Ashton Kutcher going to run into my living room and be like,
we got you! I mean, it was pretty close. I got the email, and I read that probably 5 times, and every time I read it, I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? Are you serious? I just got a movie role to play myself. I mean, how awesome is that?
I can't imagine what that must feel like.
It's pretty
bad. Now, who, okay, as soon as you got off that phone call where they're like, look, we got to have you play yourself. What's the first thing you did? Did you run and tell somebody? Did you just jump up and down, like, honestly, like a proud young lady would? Or did you just, like, sit down and go, am I dreaming?
I was jumping up and down, and I was squealing. And that's the honest to God truth. And everybody, my family around me is like, oh, my God, what is going on? And, of course, I didn't tell them because I didn't, you know, there's confidentiality type things. And I'm like, oh, my God, I just cannot tell you. I need to contact the producer and make sure it's okay with them that I tell you before I tell you. And I just wrote her back immediately, and she wrote me back. And she's like, absolutely, go ahead and tell the world. And so once I got that okay, man, it was on. I made sure everybody knew about it.
Oh, so you pulled a Skippy to start. That's great. I love that.
I don't approve of that behavior. I don't approve of pulling Skippies.
I do that all the time, man. When I got something, I'm like, guys, you would never believe who's going to fight for the title. And they're like, who? I'm like, I can't tell you yet. So that's perfect.
So 10 years ago, you're chilling out in Homer, Alaska. Did you ever think I'm going to play myself in a movie?
Never. Not in my wildest dreams did I ever think I was going to be in a movie. Ever.
It's what hard work and dedication does. What, like, you know, I mean, when you sit back and you think about it, how hard was it to send that first email when you wanted to break into the cut business and to where that email has brought you to today?
Oh, man, I can't even fathom where I was to where I am now. It's just so much has gone on and so much struggle and success in the middle. It's just this big tornado of just incredible things that went on. I just, man, I don't know. I do sit back and look at to where I was and where I am now, and I'm just like, holy cow, I always wanted to get to this point, but you never think of the actual time when you actually reach it, and it's just crazy. And even though I still have certain goals to reach, the fact that these other opportunities are coming out is just unfathomable. I never would think that this would be part of my journey, for sure, to be in a movie. I mean, come on.
Now, how exciting, I know the movie's exciting, but how exciting is it also to know that you're going to be hanging out with some honestly phenomenal guys who have made some history in this sport?
That is probably the most exciting part of this project, is to be able to work even closer on a different level with people in the industry is just an incredible honor. I mean, that's one of the, I mean, not only do I get to work on these people in a movie, you know, so I didn't get the opportunity to work on them when they were active, you know, so now to be able to work with them in this atmosphere is just going to add to just my incredible journey that I'm on. I'm so thankful. I can barely even explain how freaking awesome it is.
Okay, so you have two boys. Were you more excited about it, or were your boys more excited that their mom was going to be in a movie?
Oh, I'd have to say that I was more excited. They were pretty excited, and they were jumping up and down with me before they knew why I was jumping up and down. But they are pretty excited, and they said, "Oh, Mom, we have to buy that movie on Blu-ray." Yes, that was my six-year-old.
You gotta love that.
Now, at red carpet night, what are you gonna wear?
Oh man, well I know it'll get to the red carpet because this movie is just gonna be a hit. I don't really
know
yet.
And what should I wear?
What should you wear? Well, a tuxedo probably would be nice.
I can make that happen.
And we can match our colors, kind of like we do on prom. And like,
yeah.
And that.
I'll wear a tuxedo if you do the red carpet in your cut uniform.
You got it. No problem.
Now, you know, obviously in the last couple of years, we've seen a more and more acceptance of this sport. And now people, you know, like the Breakthrough Company doing, you know, a movie and giving these fighters an opportunity and yourself an opportunity. You know, we're stepping away from the documentaries more to the movie world. Do you feel that this is one more thing that will help solidify the mainstreaming of these athletes?
I think it definitely has its benefits to do that. I don't know. I still think there's a road to plow, but I think it'll definitely help. Absolutely.
Now, what do you know about the company? I'll be honest. You know, I'm not much into anything other than watching fights because I'm just a bum. But what can you tell us about this company, you know, so fans out there can, you know, go look them up, go find them?
Well, I know they're working with a lot of really great people. I haven't really done my research. I've been pretty busy on, you know, a lot of other projects that they have been involved in. But, I mean, they're working with people who've done things with, you know, Fast and Furious. And, you know, they have a pretty big A-team, you know, helping them out. So I'm excited to grow with them and do this project. I mean, it's one step at a time, and they're growing, and they're going to help me grow as well as everyone else involved. And, yeah, they got a pretty deep A-list team on here, and it's pretty exciting.
Oh, well, for everybody out there, at the Breakfield CO is their Twitter, and thebreakfieldcompany.com. Go check them out, folks. They've got some stuff about producing. Oh wow, yeah. They've got the information about Jack in development. It's listed on their website, folks. You guys can go in there and learn a little bit more about them and about this movie and other stuff they've done. Wow, it looks like they've done quite a bit.
Yeah, they have a really nice resume coming along there.
Yeah, that's great. You know, it's one more accomplishment in this world for you. I love it. You know, you came into, and anybody who's heard your interviews or knows you and follows you knows, you came into a male sport. You didn't let it even bother you. You got with the best in the business to learn the best from the best. And you've never looked back. And I love it because this is one more, you know, I guess, payment of your hard work coming back.
Thank you. Yeah, I definitely think so. And I love your guys' support and always having me on. And you guys do so great. And you ask such great questions. And And I thank everybody, you know, everybody for their support. I mean, to be a female coming up in the Cutman business has been challenging and exciting, and I just can't thank the support that I get enough. It's just fantastic. So thank you.
Thank you. We're just glad that we get to chat with you, because I'm getting worried now that maybe after your movie I'm gonna get big time.
Oh, I'll always have time.
She's gonna be like, yeah, I got time. It's $1,800 a minute.
Who was the first person you wanted to tell about it?
First person I wanted to tell was definitely my mom and my dad, because I knew they would just be so super, super excited, you know, to see their daughter with all these accomplishments, and they were just so excited. And then next was definitely my mentor, Adrian Rosenbusch.
Okay, now on that same question line, who was the first person you told, knowing that it would get to somebody that would not be happy to hear that? Like an old rival, an ex, you know?
You know, there isn't anybody that I'm that negative with. Gosh, I can't even answer that question. Thank goodness I can't answer that question.
Hey, it's all right. We got to ask them.
Right, absolutely.
Because I guarantee
now, what event will you be at next?
What event will I be at next? Next, I will be at Bellator September 27th in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, my God. No way. Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I better get a photo with you.
Oh, well, shoot. If you guys show up, absolutely. I will not leave until I get that picture.
I will be there at 3:30 with bells on and my press pass.
Awesome. We will make it happen.
I already forgot about Mercedes Terrell's going to be there now that I know Swayze's going to be there.
Oh, awesome. That'll be so good to see her, too. It'll be great to see all of you.
Man, that's awesome. So that'll be great. You'll be up here in Portland. Everybody can get a chance to meet you, and you can meet some of the players here in this state, and maybe they can get you some more work.
Absolutely. I'm down for everything. That's so cool.
Right on. Well, hey, I think Skippy only scheduled the show till 8:30 tonight. Do you want to shout out sponsors where they can follow you, just in case anybody missed out on the last time we had you on?
Sure, yeah, definitely. Get a hold of me on Twitter. Swayze Cut Girl is the handle. Facebook, you can look me up at Swayze Valentine. Friend request me, send me a message, whatever you want to do. And definitely check out my website, which is thequeenofcuts.com, and I always keep it updated of my next events, blogs, and things of that sort. So definitely feel free to say hello.
All right, folks. We've got one of the many stars of the upcoming film, Jacked, right now. Make sure you go out, like the movie if it's on Facebook. Make sure you tell them that Swayze told you about it. And let's work on getting her second movie role up and running.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know it was on short notice, but we really do appreciate it.
My pleasure. I always have time for you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
Labaki, one of the coolest guests. She's always super cool, and I'm super proud that she's getting this opportunity. You couldn't ask for more, man. That's what she deserves.
Hell yeah, dude. That's sweet. I mean, that's absolutely phenomenal, bro. When I was reading that over the weekend, I was like, man, I got to figure out, we got to get her back on. And so I just like shot her a text, man. She's like, yeah, I'd love to come on.
Dude, yeah, that's really cool.
It was really great that you had the show lined up with Prime tonight and you had that one little 30-minute spot open.
Yes, I'm super pumped, man. It was a great show all the way around, folks. I mean, if you guys didn't see two different spectrums of the sport tonight, oh, I don't know what to tell you, because this was, I mean, we had everything from pros to amateurs to cut women. I mean, well, the only cut woman I know of that's actually at that level, I believe.
Besides you. Oh, wait.
The only thing I cut is you when I sharpened down my fork and myself, fool.
Yeah. Yep. I'm coming to claim my title back, bro.
Oh, hey, by the way, dude, you see that picture Derek posted, photobombing the madhouse and Budo.
Yeah. Can you believe he did that to you?
Yeah. Dude, I got to send you that video tonight. The
interview. Yeah, with friends like that, who needs enemies?
Yes. Hey, though, it's so funny because the helicopters were flying over his house today, and, like, he didn't want to come outside for nothing. I know it. I know it, dude. He was like, I was like, dude, I'm going to go out and get in my car and get a cigarette. And he's like, okay, cool. And usually he follows me outside and lets the dog run around and stuff. He's like, okay, cool. It's great.
Good old tandem.
And by the way, dude, like, by far, I want to thank all our great sponsors. We're going to wrap it up, folks. Here we go. Eagle.
MMAMadHouse.com would like to thank their sponsors. Clench Custom Mouth Guards. Brawl Base. Pro-Am Belts. Game Changer Clothing. Draco Impact Armor. Hype Fight Store. Intimidation Clothing. Ink Tank Tattoo. 24 in LV. Crossroader Clothing. Central Oregon Trike. Triumph Fitness. Vision Smoke Shop. Tank Crimes. Big T's Nightclub. And Jax Media.